Maker of heaven and earth, we welcome you to worship on this Reformation Sunday as we gather recognizing the church as God's gift to all people in all places, in all languages, for all time. As we gather to worship this morning, just a couple announcements to highlight. One is that the Joshua Project and Catholic Charities are collecting for Thanksgiving baskets for people around the area in need, and there's a list on the insert in your bulletin. And you can bring those things here to the Narthex by November 16th, which is a Monday. And there's other forms in the back, and Stephanie has graciously put that together for us. So just to highlight that they are collecting this year for Thanksgiving baskets and to bring in those food items if you are able to do so over the next couple of weeks. One other announcement I want to highlight is that in terms of worship service today, and in the middle hymn, the Church is One Foundation, on the back side, we've started printing out the scripture readings, so those scripture readings are there for you if you'd like to follow along, if that's something helpful, since we realize we're not using the in the pew books for our hymns and for our Bibles. Those scripture readings are there for you to refer to during the service if you would like to. And then the other announcement is that we are in the process of finalizing and coming to completion on our book study. We will be meeting this Wednesday at 6:30 to continue our conversation on white fragility, which has been very interesting and challenging in a lot of different ways. And so again, if you've never read a page of the book but would still like to come and be part of the conversation, we invite you to do that through the email that comes by MailChimp. Otherwise, if you'd like to come and just be part of it, we encourage you to do this. So, and we've also been mailing out our conversation questions each week, so those are also in the email if you'd like to look at those and wonder about them on your own. What's that? Yes, by Zoom. And then the other item is that we continue to be, as much as we can when possible, recording all our voices, who are those who are willing and able to come to bless our service with the music each Sunday. And this Wednesday at 5 o'clock here, we'll be meeting if you'd like to come and lend your voice. And some people say, well, I can't sing. Well, we want as beautiful of a congregational sound as we can. So we encourage any and all, no experience required, just a desire to come sing along and add your voice to our worship services for Sunday. So again, Wednesday at 5 here. We'll mask and social distance and do those things so that we can sing together in the space and record those voices. So please come if you are able. Are there other announcements this morning we need to highlight and bring before the congregation? Yes, Dave. That was a nod, yes. All right. All right, opportunity to rake next week, Saturday the 31st at 9 a.m. Bring rakes and gloves and other fun equipment we'll be here to use to help beautify and clean up as we get ready for that inevitable thing called winter that is coming. So please come and rake leaves with us next Saturday at 9. Yeah, if you want to wear a costume, that would be great. Costumes are welcome. Yeah, Cindy, do you have an announcement?
Shoeboxes.
All right, so opportunity for shoeboxes to collect and bring those in, again, for the 15th, and then by the 16th, they'll be going out. And you can also do that online. And then Toasty Toes, we're collecting again, so please bring in for that. Yes, thank you. And there are other resources, some newsletters, and a new directories on the stand over there. So on your way out, if that's something that would be useful to you, please take those on your way out. I think so. Okay. And there are a few shoeboxes on the way out as well. All righty. Other announcements this morning, prayers or praises we'd like to lift up this morning. Yes, Paul. Great, great. Thank you. And praise God for that. Yes, Buck. Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. Okay. Thank you, Buck. We will definitely lift up prayers, the passing of Jim Markwit.
So some of you may recall those of you who have been a part of the church family a long time, as I look around, that's most all of you, would remember that Dick Otterness was our regional synod executive for many years before he and his wife Carolyn became missionaries to Hungary, and we supported them as missionaries to Hungary as they worked with the Roma people, who most of the world knows as the Gypsy people. And they served as missionaries for many years, and I want to say they just retired a few years ago, but in my memory, a few, who knows what that means. But I had the opportunity this week as a part of a regional synod to participate in a luncheon for retirees, and was honestly, I went to that begrudgingly because I'm like, this is not a part of my job description. I'm going to confess that. On Zoom, and I'm so glad I did. Dick was a part of that. It was so good to see him and to hear some of you saw come through on the prayer chain that Carolyn is being put on hospice care for metastatic cancer, doesn't have long. And Dick himself is on dialysis and is seeking a kidney transplant and has been for a while. So he expressed how good it was to see me and to see the others that were on the call and just felt like real holy moments as they're in northern Wisconsin right now and Carolyn's homestead, that's where that is. And he was saying that they didn't imagine that this is what their retirement would be and that they were in the right place as they wish her back to God. So prayers for them.
Yes, Dave. Yep, absolutely. Thanks, Dave. Other prayers or praises this morning? At this time then, recognizing our help is indeed in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, let us prepare our hearts and our minds to come before God in worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. O God, the heavens are yours and the earth is yours. All our lives belong to you. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May all injustice, violence, and oppression give way to fairness, mercy, and goodwill. Teach us to steward the manifold resources of earth so that none may waste and none may want. May cooperation triumph over conflict. May we find our reward in work that serves the good of all. Give us courage to seek the perspective of others. Give us compassion to hear hard truth. Fill us with a passion for righteousness and a zeal to serve where there is need.
Amen.
Amen. So grateful for the myriad of voices singing praise to God. We recognize that is what the church was created and intended to be. And also we recognize that when it comes to seeking God's grace and mercy, the lifting again of our voices in the openness and honesty of confession, God meets us with words of promise and assurance. So let us responsively this day pray together our prayer of confession. O gracious God, we pray for your holy church universal, that you would be pleased to fill it with all truth in all peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, direct it. Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, establish it. Where it is in want, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. In our prayer together, in the silent meditations of our hearts, in all that we bring before God, whatever we bring before God, God meets us with words of assurance. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let us, friends, forgive as the Lord has forgiven us, and put on this love which we recognize has gone to the cross in death and in the glory of resurrection through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Time for you to help me to describe. Would you like to come up? So we have a picnic table in our yard. It is a big round circle that's wooden. It's very heavy and quite large. We actually got it from our neighbors who, when they went to move, it was too heavy and too big to include in their move, and so they gave it to us. Now, knowing that, we've had it for many years. Sophia, tell us about the state of the picnic table over the last few years.
The paint chipped off and a couple of the legs broke off, and Dad had to fix it.
Was it usable that whole time?
No.
No. Where was it in our yard?
Right next to the barn, sitting there doing nothing.
Dilapidated and not ready to use. We had to fix it, and we actually still have to fix it. What does the paint still look? The paint's still all peeling off, right? So when we, Dad was able to fix the wood underneath and get it to stand up again, and some of the wood on the top. But we've used it this year, but what did we have to do in order to use it this year?
We had to put a tablecloth over it.
Yeah, because so much paint is chipping off it. It wouldn't work. It just all bubbles. Yuck. So what happens to things when we leave them outside in the sun, in the rain, in the snow, especially wooden things over time? What happens?
They rot.
And the paint chips off. And if we don't do anything, are they usable?
No.
I was thinking about that as we come to Reformation Sunday. Reform. And I know that everybody else likes to call Saturday that other H word, but it's actually Reformation Sunday, or Reformation Day. And we talk about needing to be reformed in God's grace. What happens to our soul and our faith if we just leave it out in the world with all of the bad news constantly being bombarded, with all of the situations happening around us, if we don't attend to our soul and to our faith? We think about that picnic table and how things wear down over time if we don't give them any attention. And now think about our relationships. If we don't spend time with people, if we don't talk to them in years, do we still love each other? Sure, right? But we don't know how to love and pray for each other, and we probably don't feel real supported by each other if we don't attend to our relationships, just like our relationship with God. God wants us to regularly be in God's presence, to be in prayer, to be receiving God's word, to attend to our souls. So as you think about that picnic table, and we've also been noticing the paint chipping off our house and been like, you know, and we think about when things are just left and the attention that they need, we're reminded that we all need to be regularly reformed, which, of course, is the namesake of our church. And we join with 211. I was surprised to see that this week. 211 other Reformed denominations, like our Reformed friends in Poland and in multiple other nations, as the Reformed Church saying, Reformation Day. Yes, Reformation Day is every day that we reform according to the Word of God. The church always reforming, God's people always reforming in God's image. So thank you, Sophia, for helping us with that imagery. I told her you all hear better when it's other voices, right? Yes. Let's pray together. God, you are so good to us. You call every one of us into your presence. None of us is a better prayer than anyone else. None of us has any more right or privilege to you. You don't love any of us more than others. God, we know these things, and yet sometimes we forget them. How much you love us. What an honor and a privilege it is to live in that love. Lord, help us not to forget, but to be reminded each and every day, each and every hour, each and every minute of your extravagant, lavish love that knows no bounds. God, thank you for loving us. Keep helping us to live into that love. Amen. Now, we were trying to change our standing and our sitting, but habits are hard to change, which is also a good illustration for Reformation Day, right? So I want to point that out. Because we aren't allowed to do congregational singing, and instead we're doing that during the week, and then thanks to Vince's brilliant skills with mastering the sound and the combining, that when we come together on Sunday, we are just listening and receiving that as a meditation. So if you're feeling like you need to stand up and stretch at any time, just do it. And now our next musical meditation.
Pray with me. Draw us close, Holy Spirit, as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed. Let the word of faith be on our lips and in our hearts, and let all other words slip away. May there be one voice we hear today, the voice of truth and grace. Amen. Today we're reading from Leviticus 1
through 2 and 15 through 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And we're also reading Matthew 22, 34 through 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Cindy, for that testimony. Thank you. I don't want to embarrass you, but that's what I saw. I know Cindy's been dealing with some really hard things, and I don't even have to preach because of the testimony you just gave. For all of us, in the midst of the hard, God calls us to a different way of being. And it is hard, isn't it? Very hard. Yeah. Last week, we ended with the hymn, "We Are God's People," for our musical meditation. So I would like us to re-listen to those words and meditate on them. On this Reformation Sunday, we are God's people. We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord, born of his Spirit, established by God's word. Our cornerstone is Christ alone, and strong in him we stand. Oh, let us live transparently and walk heart to heart and hand in hand. We are God's loved ones, the bridge of Christ our Lord. For we have known it, the love of God outpoured. Now let us learn how to return the gift of love once given. Oh, let us share each joy and care and live with a zeal that pleases heaven. We are the body of which the Lord is head, called to obey him, now risen from the dead. He wills us be a family, diverse, yet truly one. Oh, let us give our gifts to God, and so shall God's work on earth be done. We are a temple, the Spirit's dwelling place, formed in great weakness, a cup to hold God's grace. We die alone, for on its own each ember loses fire, yet joined in one the flame burns on to give warmth and light and to inspire. And that's why I asked Sophia to go get the cup, which she got the pitcher instead. But imagine, you know, the cup to hold God's grace. We joined together, diverse, yet truly one, living out God's grace. We are chosen. We're called to live transparently. We're called to walk heart to heart and hand to hand. We who have known God's love are called to share it, called to obey in our diversity. Together, we inspire. As we come to this Reformation Sunday, any of you who has studied the Reformation might be thinking of Martin Luther or Ulrich Zwingli or John Calvin or many others calling the church to reform some 500 years ago, calling the church to turn from, at those time, the sinful ways that had crept into the church, where they were creating more golden calves, just like we talked about recently, where they had created idols that turned people away from dependence on God and away from caring for each other to practices that made the church powerful and rich and cut the average person off from growing in understanding and in practice of God's true ways. We remember not only that great cloud of witnesses from 500 years ago today, but as we hear those voices calling the church back to be the church throughout the ages, we also hear Martin Luther King Jr. We also hear Desmond Tutu and Mother Teresa and many, many voices calling the church to open our eyes to the sin of oppression that once again has blinded us and crept into the church. Open our eyes to see the structures of injustice, to care for the least, the lost, the broken, regardless of their faith and where they come from in society, to see all God's people as valued, loved, children of God, worthy of being treated with dignity, respect, and value in every society. Words that sound grand and beautiful. And yet, as we come to this Reformation Sunday and look around at the state of the world, we see, oh yes, come, Lord Jesus, come. And then the other side of that is, and we acknowledge and recognize that where does that start? Right here with us. We are the ones to be continually reformed. We are the chosen. We are the diverse creatures of our Creator. We are uniquely gifted. We will have different opinions and different thoughts. And that is too a gift, that we are working together to bring glory to God in this world at this time. We join together in living into God's love, and when we do that, nothing can stop us. Now, even saying nothing can stop us, I know lately I feel very much like, what are our meager voices amid everything that's going on? But that too is a message for us to hear on Reformation Sunday. What are our meager voices? The meager voice of the Holy Spirit speaking in and through us is powerful and active and can change the world, starting with our world. We are constantly in need of being reformed to God from the very beginning, right? When we think back through and we see the scriptures through this lens, we see this oops, did it again, and we fall into a long heritage of God's people who make mistakes and who then hear that call, as Karl Barth and Augustine both said it, Ecclesia semper reformata est, the church always reforming. And our own Dutch Reformed minister of heritage, von Ludenstein, wrote a devotional that claimed Ecclesia reformata, semper reformata, and that was a part of our own Dutch heritage, the church reforming, always reforming. That became the name of our Reformed tradition. We need to always be reforming, and oftentimes we'll hear added to the end of that the Latin that means according to the word of God. We are the church. We are the Reformed church. I almost think maybe we should say add an ing though, right? Because we are always reforming. I'm reminded of Pastor Mike's word that he has mentioned to you as his word of focus, becoming. Becoming. How are we becoming who God is calling us to be, and what is it that God is calling us to become? The World Communion of Reformed Churches, as I mentioned, has 211 other Reformed denominations that join in that, let alone our cousins in the Lutheran Church and others that are not quite a part of the World Communion of Reformed Churches, but close cousins. And as we hear these powerful words from Leviticus, I have to tell you, they're actually not a part of our Reformed Common Liturgy, Revised Common Liturgy that we typically use for today. It's actually from our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. This is their passage for today. And as I was looking at them, I thought, well, that's even more fitting as well, because these words also hit me in a very powerful way. From Leviticus, of all places. We don't talk about Leviticus very often. Leviticus isn't a well-read book, and if you sit down this week and scan through, you'll see why. It's not an easy read. But certainly, Leviticus 19 is something for us to come back to again and again and again, as it makes very clear what is the type of reformation God is seeking in us. How is it that we enact God's will? What does it mean for us to be holy? What does it mean for us to be holy? I do think a part of our Pharisaical trap throughout all of history has meant that over time, we start thinking that what it means for us to be holy is to have right thinking. As long as we all think this one way and convince everybody else to think this one way, then we're holy, right? You kick out anybody who doesn't think like you do. And we see this happening in our churches and in our denominations throughout history. Yet what is it that Leviticus 19 says to us? Look at those words again. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And what are the next things that we're supposed to? How do we be holy? It's all about our actions. It's all about how we treat each other. There's not a thing in here that says you need to think the right way. You need to obey what God has told you, and your obedience is your practice, how you enact and treat others. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. You shall enact justice. and you shall judge your neighbor in justice. You shall not go around as a slanderer among people. You shall profit from the harm of others. You shall not have hate in your heart for anyone. Ooh. How do we do that? Right? And whose work is that? I think we so often like to say, we shouldn't have hate in our heart for anyone. Well, that's their fault. They made me hate them, right? Look at all these horrible things. And sometimes there are some pretty darn horrible things. I'm not saying anything about that. But how do we live free from hate? That's work on our part, isn't it? And whose responsibility? That's ours. No matter what others have done, hate in us is what corrupts our spirit, what sucks our good and positive energy, our love that we might give to the world, and is very, very hard work for us to be continually confronting. And hard for us to discern. What does it mean to live in love? Because we are not meant to be doormats. We are not meant to simply be driven over. Sometimes truly living in love means standing up for ourselves, being able to define ourselves and stay connected regardless of how the others act. How do we live without hate in our heart? You shall reprove your neighbor. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. For I am the Lord. And we see those all caps that God reminds us. I am. I was. I am and I will be. I am the Lord. I am the Lord who is with you. I am the Lord who empowers you. I am the Lord who freed you from slavery in Egypt. And I am the Lord who can free you from the hate in your heart. Then as we hear this repeated through our gospel message, we hear again, what's the greatest commandment? We've got lots of laws and commandments, and boy, those Pharisees, right? And then we have to say, and boy, us Pharisees, we like our right thinking. See, once again, get it right. Which laws are the most important? The laws of love. Love God. Put God first, get rid of idols in our life, acknowledge and recognize that we are people who will continue to make idols out of stuff, make idols out of money, make idols out of security, make idols out of our own comfort. We are a people who will continue to make idols, and it is our work to get rid of idols out of our life as we reform ourselves on a regular basis, that we might love God and love others. Reform. The Pharisees in our passage from Matthew are trying to trick Jesus and are trying to trap Jesus. Now, as we see that play out in the scriptures, we think about it, that'd be really convenient for the Pharisees to be able to keep their power and control, right? And we see in ourselves how we too so often, well, God, you know, I'm doing it this way over here, to try to keep our power and control. As again and again, we hear God say, love God, love your neighbor, serve the poor, the oppressed, look after the widows and orphans. We hear these messages that God truly means. You may have seen around town the signs, Jesus for President. Great, wonderful And as I see them, I am so reminded of Shane Claiborne's book by that same title. And let me tell you, it's a little bit of a chuckle that comes to me, because I don't think the people that put up the signs necessarily know what that would mean. Because Shane Claiborne's book tells us, yeah, you think that that's a great and worthy thing that you want Jesus to be president, but let me tell you what Jesus would really do if Jesus were president. You know those words? Jesus actually meant them. And so it's a very hard read. And I think that that's good for us to reflect on and to also like chuckle with in our own lives, to say, okay, Jesus, what does it mean to make you Lord of my life today? How do I let go of the things that have been holding me back? How do I be one who truly lives in your love? As we come to this Reformation Sunday and recognize our constant need, we also recognize the God who is constantly seeking us, that we might be that cup to hold God's grace. And in order to be that, we first have to receive it. We first have to acknowledge and recognize, yes, God, thank you for reforming me again and again. Thank you for loving me so much that I am enfolded in your love and empowered to be that love for the world. Let's pray together. God, as we come before you this day, we acknowledge and recognize your words to us, life-giving and freeing, and yet hard to hear. Words that convict us, words that remind us that living in this world, especially in this time of polarization and politicization and disagreement on equality, it's hard. It's hard. God, we hear and remind you telling us that we will make mistakes and that you are always here seeking to reform us in your image. Seeking us, God. Lord, help us to indeed receive your grace this day, that we might have our ears and eyes opened anew, that you might help us root out the ways that we have harbored ill thoughts, that we have not loved those with whom we disagree. Lord, continue to help us in this good, hard work, that we might evermore step into your grace and live as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we recognize that we are, in fact, God's living offering, wherever we go and in every way, let us offer ourselves to God in meditation.
of all good gifts, we are so grateful this day. The reforming work that happens by your Spirit in this place and in every place and in each and every heart in this and throughout your world. Lord, help us to tune our hearts and our spirits more closely with yours, that we may be who you created us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Please join me in the prayers for the morning. And we'll conclude by saying together our Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Reforming God, we come to you today, all of us and your church together, as definite works in progress. And we give thanks this day that your Spirit does not declare that things are finished until we behold your glory face to face. So may we find comfort this day in your mercy and grace. May we find inspiration in the power of your Spirit. And may we find courage in the midst of all the ways the world longs to form us, judging by what merits we have or things we do or accomplish, judging by where we come from or what language we speak or what color we are, judging by how closely we resemble one another in all we are, judging one another by how we think or who we vote for, and so many other ways we are tempted to be formed in the patterns and ways of this world. Lord, continue to reform us according to your Spirit. Remind us that we do not belong to the world, but to you. So teach us, Lord, what it means. Teach us what it means to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Teach us what it means to love our neighbors as ourselves. Teach us, Lord, and each of the ways we lose that teaching or lose our way, give us grace and mercy. And where we succeed and are successful, may we give you the praise. Lord, we give thanks this day with gratitude for places in our lives and in our world and for those we love where we have experienced and witnessed your healing. We give you thanks. Lord, where there has been loss and there is grief, we bid your comforting presence, your mercy, your peace, and your strength. Lord, where we have come through hard things and where hard things still lie ahead, we ask for your love and your mercy to surround us and to be with us each step of the way. And Lord, we recognize in all of this the goodness that we are all being reformed by your Spirit according to your word, in which you taught us to pray together, that you are our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
your voices. I'm not even sure, but I hear many voices there, and how beautiful to hear all the parts. I said, pandemic has been an exercise in letting go of our perfectionism, and certainly if we'd all been together and could, you know, harmonize and hear each other, it might have even sounded better. But wow, that's pretty awesome for each person doing things separately. And then thank you, Vince, for all of your work in putting those together. I know when I mentioned last week to those of you who were here, when we gathered together for singing, we just laughed a lot. We're like, not sure how this is going to work. And yet Vince keeps making something beautiful out of it. And as we join together this Reformation Sunday, please stand and receive the benediction. You are God's people, the chosen of the Lord. God is relentlessly lavishing love and grace upon us. Receive this. You are a cup to hold God's grace. Go in that grace that you might also receive it and pour it out for a world in need. Amen.